Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
What a long road it has been, Perloff. I feel like we're like hacking through the wilderness of trying to determine what is the greatest TV sitcom of all time. Welcome to the show, by the way. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Plenty of sports, plenty of college football and NFL to get to. But today's the day. It's the last day,
wow,
the final day where we and you really have determined the greatest sitcom of all time. And when I mean you, not Perloff. I'm talking about the people who have voted on these polls.
I mean, have we queued up One Shining Moment? It's all come down to this.
Can you imagine? So here was the final for you. I can't believe today's the day. This has just been such a big part of our lives. It was a heavyweight battle. It started with The Office. Let's hear a little of The Office. One of the great clips from The Office. Here is Michael Scott tries to make up to Scott's tots by giving them laptop batteries instead of tuition.
I can't pay for your college, but you don't have to go to class to be in class. Online courses are a viable option to a traditional college experience. And the best way to access those courses is with your own personal laptop, which is rendered useless without batteries, and I have one for each of you. Hold on, they're lithium.
The Scott's Tots episode.
I know people who get emotional just thinking about that Scott's Tots.
Cringe on an all-time level. What an amazing episode of television. So it was the second seed. The Office in the final went up against the number one seed, Seinfeld. Let's hear a little from Seinfeld. How about cut 15, please, Nick? This is when George Costanza's bad boy facade is ruined because he gets arrested bootlegging movies.
It's all right, George. You'll just pay a fine and that'll be it.
Why did the policeman have to yell at me like that?
Amber. Elaine, thanks for coming to pick me up. I can explain everything.
All right, well, we'll talk about it tomorrow at the office.
Okay, where's my boy?
Oh, my God.
I'm sitting at home reading a periodical, and this is the call I get. My son is a bootlegger.
Ow.
Who put you up to this? Was it her?
All right, wait a minute. I think you've got it backwards.
My George isn't clever enough to hatch a scheme like this.
You got that right.
Oh, man, we could have played 1,000 clips, and EJ caught 1,000 clips.
They're about to. Isn't that where they square off?
Yeah.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus and George's dad. Oh, that's good stuff.
All right, so without further ado, the winner of the Maggie and Perloff sitcom bracket in the year 2024 is none other than Seinfeld. Seinfeld won. It wasn't even close. 72% to 28%. This is one of the most dominant runs we've ever seen. Seinfeld is the winner. Perloff, your thoughts?
Most dominant runs we've ever seen in our sitcom bracket, which we've done one of.
Exactly.
So,
yep.
It didn't seem like anybody could challenge him. I was looking. The Rolling Stone, the magazine, lists the top 100. They had Seinfeld number 3. The only two ahead of it were Cheers and Simpsons. I think the voters, I think Seinfeld, I don't think they matched up against Cheers. Would have killed that. I can't even think of, you know, you could say that they got the right matchup throughout to advance, but there was nobody who was going to come close. I'm not sure that The Office was the biggest challenge. I would have liked to have seen them go up against the Simpsons or Cheers, but nobody could say. It was like UNLV that first year before Duke came along. It was like Anderson Hunt, Greg Anthony, Larry Johnson, and Stacey Augman.
Yeah. So here's who Seinfeld beat to get to the title. And again, none of these were even close. They never had to sweat. You're right, UNLV, this is UConn last year. They're just winning in just dominant fashion. They beat, as a one seed, they beat the 16 seed Living Single. Then they beat King of Queens, which was an 8 seed. They went on to beat That 70s Show, then I Love Lucy, then MASH on their way to the title.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't see them.
And then The Office.
Slightly older shows, and as you guys pointed out, Seinfeld is now an older show, but the 70s and 80s shows did not fare well in our voting for obvious reasons. I mean, I think...
But MASH and Cheers made the final four.
That's actually true. Yeah. Well, but yeah, but the I Love Lucy did well, but generally most of the old shows that are Honeymooners...
Good Times, yeah, the older ones did not.
Because I think a lot of our audience hasn't seen them. It's fair. Yeah. I mean, how many people who are 25 have seen an episode of Sanford and Son?
Not many.
Yeah, so, and I'm sure those are great shows. Seinfeld is amazing. Do you... there is a thing, though. Do you find people who quote Seinfeld too often slightly annoying? I got worried about that. You know, like,
well,
oh, that
I
happened
used
in Seinfeld.
I used to be one of those people.
Yes.
But then I felt like it's been like 35 years at this point. I can't still yada, yada, yada. Even though I think Seinfeld has become so much a part of just like our regular vernacular. Maybe I'm a little biased because, you know, we live here in New York and so it's based in New York and there's just a little bit, I don't know, but I feel like No Soup for You, which we can hear a little of that. Can I hear Cut 14, please? Nick, an all-time great Seinfeld episode.
You think you can get soup? Please, you're wasting everyone's time.
I don't want soup. I can make my own soup. 5 cups. Chopped porcini mushrooms, 1/2 cup of olive oil, 3 pounds celery.
That is my recipe for wild mushroom.
Yeah, that's right. I got them all. Cold cucumber, corn and crab chowder, mulligatawny.
Mulligatawny?
You threw a soup, Nazi. Back it up. No more soup for you.
I think that you can do these shorthand things. I don't know if any of these other shows have that.
Well, I think one of the things is now that we have streaming, people would rather stream Seinfeld or Friends than a show that came out the last 5 years because all whatever happened, and there's no real broadcast sitcoms anymore. I always see during the football games, they run ads for Ghost as the number one sitcom, which seems like a perfectly pleasant show. But since Big Bang Theory's over and Young Sheldon's over, I don't think there are any monster sitcoms around anymore. It's just everyone streams, right? And for some reason, sitcoms don't stream well, like current sitcoms. Like, you can't go straight to Netflix with a sitcom. Can you? It doesn't feel right. Like, I'm sitting down after the slow night in sports. I'm like, oh, let me go see what the Netflix sitcom is. That doesn't exist.
No, I don't think so. I mean, most, when I think of streaming services and I think of comedy, I generally think of, well, movies or whatever, but stand-up. I think there's more stand-up
big
on
time.
The streaming services
big
now
time.
Than there is just like scripted comedy.
Absolutely. And stand-up is having a moment. I think it's why, because we just don't have, it used to be you'd watch a football game and you'd be like, oh my God, there's an ad for this show that I watched. You know, Fox came along and Simpsons and Married with Children ads would run during the game. Now I don't even know half these shows. It feels like there's 9 shows about different municipal organizations in Chicago, like Chicago Tax Accounting Department.
Chicago IRS.
Yeah, they just make the same show all over again.
Yeah, I think they're successful. Like, there's a reason why Law and Order is still on forever. But yeah, we have made it to the end, guys.
Yeah.
So Seinfeld is the big winner. EJ, this was a labor of love for you as well. What'd you think of Seinfeld taking home top prize?
It wasn't really a surprise to me just because we've seen Seinfeld dominate. But I know Perloff was saying that they faced a lot of later shows earlier in the bracket or older shows later in the bracket. But I think this was an important matchup because if there was any question mark about how Seinfeld would do against a modern classic, we found that answer out very definitively. I mean, The Office is as modern as most of these other shows that made this 64 field. It is as popular as any show that's streamed today, and it lost by like 50% almost. It more than doubled them up. So Seinfeld was a complete juggernaut, and I think deservedly so, the best sitcom of all time, according to our fans.
You want to know what's crazy is, and it's a great point, EJ. We were talking yesterday when it was The Office versus Cheers in the Final Four, and we had to get like a second poll because they tied at 50%, and we asked who had the greater cast. You know, between The Office and Cheers, all the heavyweight actors and what they went on to do. What I think is interesting about Seinfeld is Julia Louis-Dreyfus, Jerry, I guess, and Larry David are really the people. Obviously, Michael Richards completely ruined his career because of the awful things he said in that stand-up club. He totally deserved all the bad things that came his way. And George Costanza, as Jason Alexander said, he got typecast as George and never really had any other big hits. It's really just been Julia Louis-Dreyfus. I mean, the stuff that Jerry's done since, B-movie, something about Pop-Tarts, Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee was good. Larry David was probably the biggest one who had Curb, and Julia Louis-Dreyfus had Veep. You know,
well, Jerry Stiller had another big hit.
King of Queens.
Yeah.
King of Queens.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
You're right. Like, and there were a lot of, and Newman, obviously, is, what's his name?
Wayne Knight. There are a lot of guest stars. Could you go with the guest stars on Seinfeld?
Bryan Cranston.
Yeah, I feel like there were a lot of big characters who blew up out of Seinfeld.
Yeah, you're right about that. But again, it's interesting because if you would say The Office or Cheers, they had people who went on to way bigger. Like there was no sign. Besides, I guess Curb is technically a Seinfeld spinoff, maybe.
They had Curb because remember they brought back the cast of Seinfeld. They were going to do another series. Listen, Friends, did any of those people really do anything?
I mean, I think Jennifer Aniston became a legitimate star.
She was a legitimate star when she was there. Has her career, I think you could argue she peaked at Friends, though.
Yeah, I guess I don't know.
I mean, David Schwimmer really hasn't gone anywhere. Matt LeBlanc hasn't really gone anywhere. We lost Matthew Perry, had a tough time afterwards. Courtney Cox did the Scream movies.
Yeah.
I know how you feel about Phoebe. Although Lisa Kudrow's has some pretty good shows. But generally,
she's the worst. It was the worst character ever created for television.
Yeah. I mean, I think the two shows were the Cheers and Office were unique in that sense.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Seinfeld, though, what do you think is the most influential sitcom? Seinfeld was influential in a way like you could. It changed the way
people
sitcoms talked.
Yeah,
I think so. It was like a different kind of cleverness, and then it became Curb.
I think The Office, though, with the straight-to-camera stuff.
But they stole that.
Yeah, they definitely did.
I mean, literally from The Office. I think Cheers had a huge impact, too. Live-action sitcom that could become the most popular show on TV. Like, that was, MASH, too, but really Cheers was, like, maybe because of my age. I remember, Cheers, everybody knew it. Everybody said, what were the numbers on the finale?
Oh, I had them like weeks ago.
And Seinfeld, too. We just don't have that anymore.
I have a question for you guys.
Yeah.
We've done now this full bracket, this full experience, even though Perloff tried to run away from our picks from now and then. We came together. We did this. Of the results that happened, was there anything that stood out to you as like the biggest surprise in terms of maybe a show you thought would go really far that went out early, or maybe a show you thought would go out early that went really far?
So I think that Golden Girls got a bad draw from us. To catch Family Guy in the second round, I think Golden Girls, like Big Zoo, who had been in with us last week, is in his 20s, loves Golden Girls, and not just because he has this kink fetish for older women. But that
he's
is
not
also
the only one that likes that show.
Yeah, see, Nick is in. Nick,
it's
how
funny.
Old are
I was
you?
Just turned 30.
You're 30. You are very young to be liking Golden Girls.
Yeah, my mom used to say it was like, I love Sophia, and just because she was so funny, and Rose was my favorite, so.
It turns out all you guys had crushes on, we thought it was going to be, what's her face from Modern Family, Jay's wife, what's her name?
Sophia Vergara.
Yeah, there's a spicy Latina woman.
That show, but
meanwhile, it's Rose Nylund. You guys are.
I had a crush on her. She was just funny. And when I was younger, I saw it on TV. I was like, oh, this is funny. And my mom's like, why are you watching this? Like half the jokes were over my head because a lot of them, were sexual jokes. Yeah. But
being made by elderly
funny.
Women. I mean, that would be one of them.
I'm not. I think this is a weird room or a bunch of guys who love Golden Girls. That is not me. Golden Girls is not in the conversation with Seinfeld as far as humor. For me, the one that some of the popular shows I felt were seated too low and got tough matchups, like the Chuck Lorre shows, the broad appeal shows, and the one Modern Family might end up becoming the most profitable sitcom of all time, and they ran into a bit of a tough draw. That's the one I thought would go further because Modern Family was funny, but also you could watch it with like an 8-year-old, a 10-year-old, a 20-year-old. So I think broad comedies, Two and a Half Men, Big Bang Theory, I thought they did not do as well, which doesn't surprise me. This is on Twitter. I think if you had an actual election where you went out to the entire country, I think Big Bang would have done much better.
The other one, I think I was surprised at how big of a controversy it became that we added Saved by the Bell. Saved by the Bell to me definitely checked off all the boxes of a sitcom. Yes, it was on Saturday morning, but it was You know, same cast, set in the same place, laugh track, you know, all the things that you'd expect just because it was on a different time and because it was for kids, to me, didn't like disqualify it. And that a lot of people really had a problem with Saved by the Bell being in the bracket.
Well, yeah, because it's for kids. It's not funny like Seinfeld. I mean, well, you say that, like, would you sit and watch an episode of Saved by the Bell right now?
Yeah, but there's a lot of these that I don't think are that funny, but I understand other people did. I didn't think Friends was very funny. I didn't think Big Bang Theory was very funny.
So you think Saved by the Bell was the same level of humor as Friends?
No, no, it's not. It's a much higher level of humor for Friends, but that's just a matter of taste, right?
No. See, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, Saved by the Bell, like, they're sitting in a room saying, how can we make a 9-year-old laugh?
Right. But that's also taste. That's also Family Matters. It's Step by Step.
Yeah,
it's
I know. And none of those belonged on there for the same exact reason.
Family Matters was great, though.
What's that?
Yeah, Family Matters was great, I think.
Yeah, and we can't undervalue family shows. Like, sitcoms, the whole point of sitcoms was that you can also watch with your family. That's how this all started in the 60s and 50s and 40s. So I don't think that because there were jokes for kids, that meant you couldn't put them on there. And I will say, there was complaints about Saved by the Bell. There were complaints about Boy Meets World. Both shows did not win their first round matchup. They competed extremely well against very high seeds. So this idea that this show like had nowhere to be belong on this list, like if that was the case, they would have got slaughtered in the first round. Both of them, I think, lost by less than 10 percentage points.
EJ, let me ask you, would you, after work today, will you sit and watch an episode of Saved by the Bell?
No. I can say that about 62 shows on this list. That's not a question. Like, that's not a viable question to me.
Also, we had Frasier, who in the chat was a very popular pick. A lot of people really love that show because it was the biggest show right after Cheers.
Yeah.
And Frasier did win its first round matchup against Boy Meets World, but lost to Curb Your Enthusiasm in the round of 32. So there you go. At Maggie and Pearl, you can always let us know how you feel. YouTube.com/InfinitySportsNet is another way to get in touch with the show, or 855-212-4227.
Can we acknowledge the NIT/BIT Bilotti Invitational Tournament winner as well?
For the working man?
Yes.
Woman.
Bilotti, do you have a update for us?
Yes, Home Improvement takes the crown in the BIT, the first annual BIT. And it was pretty much a runaway from the poll I had. I think it was either them or Three's Company. It was the two best in the tournament, and they matched up in Home Improvement won. I think it's very criminally underrated, that show.
I voted for Home Improvement in the Bilotti Invitational Tournament, the bit.
I see. That's a great matchup. Three's Company is like, when you think of 70s sitcom, that is iconic and symbolic. That's like, that's a sitcom.
You think Larry Dallas.
Yeah, like they weren't even trying. I mean, that show was 80% laugh track. mean, and we love John Ritter. And Suzanne Somers. I did a deep dive on Three's Company. Oh, my God. The drama behind the scenes there.
Really?
Wow. Pete, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, Ritter and Summers.
Yeah, they didn't get along.
Oh, I didn't know that. This is like Jerry Jones, Dak Prescott level of agita?
No, I mean, I think when a show gets really popular, I think, you know, like Sex and the City, for example, right? Kim Cattrall won't speak to Sarah Jessica Parker, so they had to write her off the show. That would be a fun thing. Like characters who just did not get along with their co-stars and had to give up. Shelley Long and Cheers.
Well, and Bogish was telling me about the first Aunt Viv. Didn't think that Will Smith did enough to help her cause after the second season, I believe, or third season, I think, of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
And she left because of that?
Yeah.
And what happened to her?
I don't know. Never heard from her again.
They did the documentary on Max, and those two had like a 30-year feud where Aunt Viv was saying nasty stuff about Will Smith. Will Smith was saying nasty stuff about the actress who played Aunt Viv. They just reconciled literally just like maybe 2 or 3 years ago.
Wow. I mean,
this was a decades-long feud, and it was tough. They got very lucky that the second Aunt Viv ended up being pretty decent, so they didn't like completely lose like an important character. But, man, that's the one thing I want to do. I was going to ask you guys, if we did another bracket, I think maybe sitcom characters would be the next one.
I would say theme songs, too.
We could do theme songs as well. We played a lot of theme songs during this run.
But, I know, and it made me fall in love with him all over again. That's
I wonder how I kind of wonder how much the music would match with like the show. Like, would the better shows just keep advancing even if their music isn't that great?
I don't think so. See, I think Golden Girls could probably win the tournament just with the theme song alone.
Oof.
What's the theme song in Golden Girls?
Thank you for being a friend.
I'll play it coming
back. Thank you for being a friend.
Yeah, I mean, it's so funny. I immediately think of the that Friends thing.
I'll be there for you.
Yeah, and the couch and like that's pretty iconic.
I'm telling you guys, we should do this. This will be our next
one. Cheers is, I think, one of the best.
How about
Cheers is amazing.
MASH is obviously pretty iconic. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Oh, Fresh Prince has got to be a number one seed probably, right?
A legit song.
Yeah.
It's so funny. I was driving this weekend, and I heard the theme of The Office. The song was just playing on a radio station.
Really?
Yeah, it's like an instrumental band.
Yeah, we played it. I mean, I don't even think it's that great. I don't think it's it's nothing like the Jeffersons.
But it
or
fit the show
like
so perfectly. Yeah. Like, you got to do fit.
855-212-4227.
Fit.
Got to do fit.
Oh, God, the Jeffersons theme. I just laugh. It'd be Steve Harvey does a bit where he's singing the Jeffersons theme in church. Everybody knows the Jeffersons theme.
Okay, we turn our attention back to sports in just a moment. You're welcome to weigh in, though. Seinfeld wins the bracket, the greatest sitcom of all time. Did the voters get it right or did the voters get it wrong? You're welcome to tell us. We get back to some NFL training camp in just a moment, and particularly something is going on with a team where we...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Never used to hear this kind of drama. Very, very odd stuff. We'll tell you next.
Now we're talking here.
Yeah. I told you, if we did a sitcom bracket, which we just wrapped up, Seinfeld won. If we just did sitcom theme songs, I think Golden Girls is definitely getting to the Elite Eight.
I don't think
minimum.
So.
Minimum.
I don't think so. All right, welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. No, I don't think so. I think they're more iconic ones. That's a really, really good one.
This will bring a tear to your eye.
I know you guys are not necessarily fans, but I think the Friends theme song, because you think of the couch and, you know, Schwimmer's pushing Jennifer Aniston in the water. I don't know. It just feels like that is like pretty big song.
Didn't that
too.
Get annoying though?
Of course.
But see, Golden Girls never got annoying. That's awesome on the 50th replay. We got to do it now. I mean, I know it's like going back to the well. We just did sitcoms.
I don't think we can wait till next July. I know training camp has started,
They're just going to be like, what is this? Just one note over there? Look at these idiots. But yeah. I think we need to do something like this.
Fair criticism.
Bogish, what do you think? Sitcom theme songs next, or do we have to go away from the well?
You could maybe shorten it. Maybe just do 8 or 16, not a full 64-team bracket. Start Sweet 16.
Or expand it, make it like 128.
Yeah.
Just do this for the rest of 2024.
Just leave Pete 6 songs to vote on for himself.
The actual NCAA tournament. They're just going to expand it forever.
I mean, I'm already looking at some. There's a million lists out there, and there are some good ones. Golden Girls is 38 on Rolling Stone's list.
Yeah, you want to know what this is?
Yeah.
This is like this stupid NFL 100 where the players are voting on the top 100 players.
Uh-huh.
And did you see the latest ones that came out? Where Joe Burrow is ranked 39th and Tua's ranked 36th. This is how? Like, this
Carl
is why
didn't play last year. They forgot he existed. Missed too much time.
That's what that is?
Probably.
Yeah, that's exactly. Oh, I mean, the injuries always screw up that top 100 list. I mean, Aaron Rodgers was low. He was 92 this year. No one knows what to do. They don't tell the players exactly how to vote because they're like, are you voting on last year or this year? So Golden Girls are 38. By the way, Laverne and Shirley, 36. That's a banger, too.
Yeah, this is Burrow Tua.
What did you call it?
Shmizzle. Shmizzle. Fuzz and Fizz Incorporated.
Fuzz and Fizz.
Dukes of Hazzard. That's not a sitcom, right? That's a documentary.
By the way,
Dukes of Hazzard. Doesn't hold up, right? What's that, EJ?
Wait.
Happy Days would be extremely high, too.
That's true.
When you say Dukes of Hazzard doesn't hold up, I'm sorry. When you light a bow and arrow and shoot a flaming arrow, that always holds up. Duke holds up, Maggie. Yeah. They still call them Daisy Dukes.
They still do.
Here's one. Did you know Greatest American Hero? You may not know that theme, but you know when George Costanza puts it on his answer machine.
Believe it or not.
Yeah, believe it or not. I mean, that is... Can we expand it? Let's just do all shows.
Let's just do every show ever.
Let's change the theme of the format of this show.
What's a serious show that had a great intro? Like Game of Thrones theme or something?
Oh, that's a good
Succession?
One. Well, believe it or not.
We had the cartoons. Oh, my God. Yeah. The cartoons have great opening theme songs.
They do?
Itchy and Scratchy?
Simpsons.
Yeah, are you serious? Simpsons, Flintstones, Jetsons.
The Jetsons.
SpongeBob SquarePants, Fairly Odd Parents. I can go on forever.
You should have stopped at Fairly Odd Parents.
Oh, man.
Are you serious?
T-Movie Zooming, a little more current for the younger parents like me.
SpongeBob SquarePants is absolutely an iconic introduction. Give me a break.
And the guy from Oingo Boingo did the Simpsons open. Anyone knows that band?
Is that a fact?
Yes.
Oh, Danny Elfman, right?
Yeah.
He's like the most famous movie writer ever.
Composer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Game of Thrones number 11. That's a good one. Hawaii 5-0. Now that is a theme. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. All right, please go to the update.
Batman animated series. Come on.
How about the OC? I know that's in your wheelhouse, Maggie.
Oh man.
Dawson's Creek, too.
Oh, Dawson's Creek. That's a good one.
I mean, Party of Five. We can just keep naming shows. 90210. I mean, you had to have a good theme.
90210. I actually don't.
Yeah,
that was
good. Or Melrose Place. I mean,
and this is where Saved by the Bell fits. By the way,
it's a great theme song.
Yes.
What's their theme song?
It's all right. That one.
I'm Saved by the Bell.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It's all right because I'm Saved by the Bell.
I feel like all those shows kind of share.
Still can't sing.
All those shows kind of share the same theme song. Is there a big difference between Brady Bunch?
Brady Bunch, and that's where Jim is in the chat, says, hey, we're the Monkees.
The Monkees, yes. Rolling Stones number one, though. And I think it's the Winterbreak. If you want to guess Rolling Stones number one, moving on up.
Jefferson's told me.
I mean, it is a powerhouse. Yeah. The Jefferson's is such a great theme song.
I just don't know if we can go back to the well on this. I think people would accuse us of being lazy.
Or what if every single month we had a different bracket that had two with shows? Yeah. So, like, this month we did sitcom, great sitcom. Next month we do themes. After that, we do maybe supporting characters.
We can stretch
this out to December, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
What year? Let's get to some headlines with Bogish. How you doing?
Baseball's trade deadline hits later today. One of the best available players is White Sox lefty starter Garrett Crochet, a name that many of you might have just heard for the first time. So you might be surprised to hear that Crochet and his agent are acting like he's Randy Johnson. The Crochet camp has told interested teams he wants to remain a starter, having began his career in the bullpen, and he wants an extension before pitching in the postseason. White Sox GM Chris Getz caught off guard by all of this.
The communication had been very strong between Garrett and I and you know, his agency. And, you know, I was a little surprised and taken back by how they went about it. Considering that I had a conversation with his agent, the night before, I didn't, you know, that's not exactly the tactic that I would have taken, even being a former player, quite honestly, just because the dialogue had been so honest and real and careful and mindful of his career.
And now, of course, a deal is harder.
It created some questions in which, you know, sometimes I'm able to combat some of that just because of the relationships I have with other clubs, you know, but it definitely created some questions. You know, the short-term and long-term consequences are unknown.
Okay, so the trade deadline is tonight at 6 o'clock Eastern time, right? So 5 o'clock for the Chicago White Sox. This is a unique one because I've never heard of a player reportedly, I don't know if this actually came from his mouth, but from, I think Bob Nightingale had this, that he would sit out a playoff game if he doesn't have a new contract. Yeah. I'm all for players getting paid. That is a heck of a thing to put out there, though. I think that hurts you.
I also think you kind of just need to know your place, right? Again, like, he's Garrett Crochet. Like, that's the, like, that's what's shocking to me here. This is not a multiple, like, Cy Young winner, right, or candidate or all-time pitcher, end of his career, that has the cachet to make demands.
Crochet doesn't have the cachet,
he
is what you're saying?
No, not even a little bit.
Is he knitting himself into a corner?
He is. We can do that's that stuff. A good one.
But here's the part of it where you say, I would sit out a playoff game. I mean, that's just like, that's where you make the team look good. Like, you're going to make the White Sox, who have lost 14 in a row.
Oh, we're going to get there.
Oh, yeah. They're terrible. How you can make the White Sox look good. But Chris Getz seems like a totally reasonable person in this clip. And the player sounds unhinged.
And his agent as well. Yeah.
All of them.
And I also can't stand it when pitchers who, like, Crochet's having a dominant season. He's been great. But when pitchers play for terrible teams where there are zero stakes in how he pitches, those guys acting like, as Bogut said, that they're Randy Johnson. I mean, give me a break. You're not playing in any meaningful games. How many times do we see these guys get traded at the trade deadline, go to a contender, and then stink the rest of the way? It's a whole different environment playing for a real team compared to playing for the White Sox.
And he has no track record, not even a little bit. He's coming off Tommy John surgery. He pitched a couple innings last year to finish the recovery. Goes into starting. He's probably, if not already, about to go past like the suggested innings pitched in your first full year post Tommy John surgery. So he's got almost nothing to stand on here, and he's making all-time demands.
How do you look like the bad guy when it's the White Sox who are also in the story, which is just crazy.
And
anyway,
the story is that losing streak, now a franchise record, 15 in a row.
First pitch. Fastball lifted. Deep to left field. Benintendi back on the track. It's out of here. Bobby Witt Jr. delivers a go-ahead grand slam.
In a 6-run eighth inning for the Royals, they win in Chicago 8-5. Now back on the trade front, the Braves reacquire slugger Jorge Soler and reliever Luke Jackson from the Giants. Atlanta will pay what's left of Soler's contract, including $26 million for next season. He was the 2021 World Series MVP with the Braves. The Astros adding Toronto lefty Yusei Kikuchi. The Jays also sending Justin Turner to Seattle. And the Reds shipped righty starter Frankie Montas to Milwaukee. Colts defensive end Samson Ebukam suffered a season-ending torn Achilles at camp on Sunday. Spain held off Greece 84-77. In men's basketball action in Paris this morning, Giannis and company now 0-2 in group play, making it nearly impossible to reach the knockout stage. And Coco Gauff losing the first set to Donna Vekic in their third round at women's tennis match. Guys, back to you.
Was anyone else crying yesterday watching men's gymnastics, or was that just me?
Just you in this room, I think.
I mean, nothing like a good middle-of-the-day cry on a Monday. But tears of joy. I think it goes to show the men's gymnastics, they had not won a medal since 2008.
Right, no gold since 90-something.
Right. So this, So they didn't win gold. The men's gymnastics, like, team won a bronze. You would have thought they won 10 golds the way they were celebrating yesterday. But I was all for it, and it all came down to the guy I was telling you about yesterday, Pearl, the gymnast originally from Massachusetts, went to Penn State. He's only a specialist on the pommel horse, and he's got glasses that are like yours and Bogish's combined together. Mm. I don't know how he could see. I think he's doing it all on feel. He's kind of quirky looking. He's like in his own head going through the routine before he gets on the pommel horse, and he solidified it for the Americans.
What did he win? Sorry.
They all won bronze as a team.
I see. So it was a team thing. And you actually, so you shed tears?
I did.
Wow.
A tear.
Wow.
I know.
I didn't shed tears, but I did yell "Let's go" when a fencer, who there's an American fencer who was facing him in a matchup, and it went to sudden death overtime, similar to our Cheers office matchup yesterday. I didn't know there was
same
sudden
same.
Death. I didn't know there was sudden death overtime in fencing, but there was, and the number two seed, the American, was about to go out, and they must have done a 3 or 4 minute sudden death where they had to keep restarting, and then when he won, gentleman ripped his mask off, yelled, "Let's go!" He's on his knees going crazy. Meanwhile, I'm going crazy in my living room, having never heard this guy 10 minutes before I started watching. The French audience could not care less.
Well,
because
easy
France,
on that knee, other... EJ. Let's make sure the other one stays intact. You know, we don't need a... We've already had kickball incidents. We don't need a fencing issue to get in the way. But yeah, no, you don't cry during the Olympics. What's the matter with you guys?
I mean, it's not off the table. It just didn't happen yesterday for gymnastics.
If it's not the moment when they solidify the medal, it's got to be during the anthem, right? I mean, what are you guys, just robots over there?
Well, I wasn't watching live like you were, so that might have been the first obstacle to tears.
No, you gotta be watching live.
Yeah.
Yesterday was not a big Olympic day for me. I kind of, give me Simone Biles and men's basketball. When's that going on?
Oh, Simone Biles today.
Yeah, men's basketball tomorrow. Oh, are you guys about Canada or Team USA?
I thought Team USA.
His real allegiance, which is Canada.
Team USA is tomorrow?
Yes.
Oh, Wednesday. Okay. Yes. Yeah, okay. But see, you got to text me, Maggie, to say the guy with glasses is pummel horsing.
All right. I'll text you next
well,
time.
Well, she did, right?
I tweeted it. I mentioned it yesterday. I mean, there's only so much I can do. I can lead a horse to water here, but I can't make it drink, Pearl. If you don't want to get on board with men's gymnastics, I don't know what to do.
No, I actually do not acknowledge that men's gymnastics exists.
I'm going to be honest. The Olympics has made its way into my girlfriend's group chat, which they are not sports fans.
Okay.
By any stretch. They wouldn't know Peyton Manning from...
Yes.
You know.
Peyton Hillis.
From Rafael Nadal. I mean, they don't know anything about anything when it comes to sports. They don't even know what I do for a living. But they are very much into the Olympics. And I'll tell you what sport made it into their into their purview.
Yeah, you know the Olympic fans are not sports fans. Like, if you watched 3 minutes of the Olympics, and that's quite clear.
Oh, they haven't watched 130 seconds of the Olympics,
no,
but they have a favorite.
Right, right. But the Olympic audience is the exact opposite of the football audience. It's the Today Show audience.
True.
Right. And that's how they present it. And that's why sometimes there's like 9 minutes of features and 1 minute of actual competition.
Well, this one wasn't a feature so much. It was a couple still photos and a video of the French men's diving team.
Oh.
And I'm going to leave it there.
Not the German women's beach volleyball team that I was in.
No, that maybe that was your group chat.
Yeah, sorry,
my group
wrong
chat
phone.
Is a little more about the French divers. Suddenly got a lot of fans of this French diver. And I'm going to let everyone else do their own research on this because I can't lay it out anymore.
What's with this diver? Does he have an OnlyFans page? What's going on? What's going on?
Or should he?
Yeah.
I'm not saying nothing.
Does he need two Speedos?
All I'm saying is... I got back to my phone and there were 27 text messages and it was all about this one guy. So
you should play old age home with him. See what happens.
855-212-4227. Okay. On to more sobering notes. Patriots training camp, a lot different with no Bill Belichick. We'll tell you how next. Sitcom bracket finished up today. Congratulations, Seinfeld. Seinfeld won. This is obviously the Friends theme. We're thinking about moving on to theme songs next. But we might have to let this breathe for a minute.
Yeah, I think the question is, even if you don't like Friends, like, you know this song. Like, iconic one. That's your opinion.
Okay, has anyone been paying attention to what's going on in New England right now? Now, obviously, the Patriots are in full-on rebuild. Vegas is picking them, Perloff, too, have the fewest wins of any team in the NFL this year. They're breaking in a new quarterback in Drake May. Not even sure he's going to start. Probably won't. Jacoby Brissett will probably start. But things are not what they used to be, and that might be an understatement. So yesterday, you have Matthew Judon, who is one of the most important defensive players that they have on the team. So he's probably one of the most important players they have on the team right now. He is openly upset about not having a new contract. So Matthew Judon went on a show called Shut Up Mark Podcast. Let's hear cut five, please. He says he doesn't understand why the Pats won't sign him.
I don't want to be the villain. I don't want to be the bad guy, but it's like, shoot, bro. Like, help me out. We got the most cap in the league right now, bro. Like, what the? And then with that, like, they don't even get the money. So what the hell are y'all doing with it? Like y'all literally just not using it.
Okay, more from Matthew Judon. Says he even drafted his own contract offer and sent it over to the Patriots.
I wrote out my own contract and sent it to him. They just ain't responding.
Not yet.
For real.
Ellison, an offer has been submitted.
Yeah, I wrote my own. And, you know, I don't do most of the talking to them. You know, they let me play football, and I got an agent. But that one thing I did do.
Can you imagine if Bill Belichick received a contract offer written by one of the players? Would he blow his nose with it or wipe his butt with it? Because Belichick wouldn't play. And I'm sure there were dozens of players, Perloff, throughout the years who had issues with the Patriots and contracts. We just never really saw it spill out and spill over into the public, where yesterday Judon was seen like leaving practice.
I'm trying to remember, but I'm assuming the Patriots have had contract issues for years. You're just saying that they pushed them to the side and that it was hidden?
I think that Belichick, the tight ship that he ran there, didn't allow these things to become public. Listen, the Patriots had their other issues, of course. Like, they're not a perfect organization.
Aaron Hernandez running around in flip-flops.
There were definitely other things, but not just Judon. This is a particular lane. And Devon Godshaw, who's another important defensive player, who has his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, who's basically sitting there on the sidelines with him. There's just been more. Gerard Mayo was on our friend Kay Adams' show. Gerard Mayo was asked if Bill Belichick has reached out to him at all. How about cut four, please, Nick? Let's hear it.
That's a tough question. We haven't had a lot of communication since I've been here. And honestly, for me, my focus is the players. It's all about the players. And I learned a lot from Bill. I honestly did. X's and O's, and also, structure and practice and things like that.
Okay, so and hasn't heard much from Bill Belichick. I mean, he's really changed a lot of things even behind the scenes, playing music at practice, starting practice a little bit later to have meetings earlier, and also putting like a PlayStation ping pong table, that kind of stuff in the locker room because he thought guys were going over just like being on their phones, not being like no camaraderie, really. Just a very different vibe for the Patriots now.
Yeah, I mean, I think it makes sense. Like the Belichick era is gone. You were terrible at the end of the Belichick era. You're now a normal team. This is whoever is like, for example, Matthew Judon. He's not going to be there when the Patriots are good again. So what's the difference if they sign him or not? Why would the Patriots sign him? He's going to turn 32 in August. I'm not sure. Like, everyone's got to realize what's happening here, right? They're going to be bad for 2 years. Is that okay? Can you come off of Bill Belichick and just be bad and be cool with that? Well, I think you should kind of face that fact.
Well, I would be worried perhaps a bit if I'm Gerard Mayo, because if you know that intuitively, if you have Robert Kraft, who got so frustrated at the end with Belichick, someone who has won 6 Super Bowls for the guy and made the franchise beyond profitable, like, you know, increase the value of the franchise, along with Brady, obviously, by probably a power of 10, how much real patience are you going to have with a new coach in Gerard Mayo, who's doing things a different way? And you know, say Drake May's development doesn't go well or anything that happens.
Well, that's the key.
Yeah, amongst like, and he's a defensive coach, obviously, Mayo, but like say something doesn't go right, he's going to be treated probably just like anyone else. Even if they love him and they loved him as a player, I mean, the coaches rarely get these long opportunities.
I would just say this about the Patriots. There is only one issue, and it is how is Drake May developed? I don't care about Matthew Judon. I don't care about anybody. I mean, they've been good on defense and bad the last 2 years.
Yeah.
It's really just about Drake May. So that's really the end all and be all for Gerard Mayo. And as you mentioned, I keep reading that they're going to start Brissett for a while.
I get it. I mean, again, if you are willing to sort of sacrifice this year, you understand what it is. I read that they have like 5 or 6 coaches around Drake May.
Yeah.
It's like not just your offensive coordinator and your quarterback coach, but a bunch of guys.
So that's the key here.
They made the investment.
What I kind of wonder about, too, is, you know, this is not a tanking year. First of all, they have their quarterback, so they don't need to tank for a quarterback. And I don't think this year they had six quarterbacks. There's no way there's six first-round quarterbacks. Like, who's the obvious tank? There's no tank for, maybe you could say Shedeur Sanders, but he's a lot older. There's no Trevor Lawrence sitting in this draft. So who do they, what are they building out? Like, if you have three wins, at least, are you going to get like a superstar in the draft? Travis Hunter? I don't even know. Is there somebody exciting coming to help Drake May?
Well, and that's interesting. It also could, listen, we've seen this before where a Joe Burrow comes out of almost nowhere.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden having that number one pick becomes the most important thing in the history of your franchise.
Or CJ Stroud is a number two pick. You're right. There could be something. I mean, even Joe Burrow, nobody thought he was going to turn around Cincinnati that fast. Because at Cincinnati, they'd had years. They were pretty good with Andy Dalton. Like, they'd make the wild card game.
Yep.
But you're right there. So who knows? I don't mind them just, if I'm Jerod Mayo, I do change things. Because, like, you have to announce that I'm not Bill Belichick. You have to do something, right? When you actually sit back, that makes some sense, right? That he's trying to do something totally different.
Yeah, I guess you just don't want the, okay, now everyone complaining about contract stuff. Now you're just a little bit more like everybody else. And that's something where the Patriots, even though things have been bad the last couple of years, I think they always enjoyed, because of Belichick and Brady, but then even with Belichick, this sort of rarefied air because of all the winning they've done. And now they're just like every other team. They got a guy who's upset, another guy's upset. Poor Christian Barmore's dealing with blood clots. I mean, that's awful. But you're just like everyone else now. You're not above anything.
I mean, if Belichick was there, Judon would already be gone. He'd be in Cleveland or something. So it's not even, I mean, he's 32. He doesn't fit a Belichick mold at all.
Coming up, we answer the question, who is the greatest college football player since the year 2000?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Sox.
And he has no track record, not even a little
None.
Bit. He's coming off Tommy John surgery. He pitched a couple innings last year to finish the recovery, goes into starting. He's probably, if not already, about to go past like the suggested innings pitched in your first full year post Tommy John surgery. So he's got almost nothing to stand on here, and he's making all-time demands.
How do you look like the bad guy when it's the White Sox who
right.
are also in the story, which is just crazy.
And
anyway.
The story is that losing streak, now a franchise record, 15 in a row.
First pitch. Fastball lifted. Deep to left field. Benintendi back. On the track. It's out of here. Bobby Witt Jr. delivers a go-ahead grand slam.
In a six-run eighth inning for the Royals, they win in Chicago 8-5. Now back on the trade front, the Braves reacquire slugger Jorge Soler and reliever Luke Jackson from the Giants. Atlanta will pay what's left of Soler's contract, including $26 million for next season. He was the 2021 World Series MVP with the Braves. The Astros adding Toronto lefty Yusei Kikuchi. The Jays also sending Justin Turner to Seattle. And the Reds shipped righty starter Frank Frankie Montas to Milwaukee. Colts defensive end Samson Ebukam suffered a season-ending torn Achilles at camp on Sunday. Spain held off Greece 84-77 in men's basketball action in Paris this morning. Giannis and company now 0-2 in group play, making it nearly impossible to reach the knockout stage. And Coco Gauff losing the first set to Donna Vekic in their third round of women's tennis match. Guys, back to you.
Was anyone else crying yesterday watching men's gymnastics, or was that just me?
Just you in this room, I think.
I mean, nothing like a good middle-of-the-day cry on a Monday. But tears of joy. I think it goes to show the men's gymnastics, they had not won a medal since 2008.
Right, no gold since 90-something.
Right. So this, yeah. So they didn't win gold. The men's gymnastics, team won a bronze. You would have thought they won 10 golds the way they were celebrating yesterday. But I was all for it, and it all came down to the guy I was telling you about yesterday, Pearl, the gymnast originally from Massachusetts, went to Penn State. He's only a specialist on the pommel horse, and he's got glasses that are like yours and Bogish's combined together. Mm. I don't know how he could see. I think he's doing it all on feel. He's kind of quirky looking. He's like in his own head going through the routine before he gets on the pommel horse, and he solidified it for the Americans.
What did he win? Sorry.
They all won bronze as a team.
I see. So it was a team thing. And you actually, so you shed tears?
I did. Wow. A tear.
Wow.
I know.
I didn't shed tears, but I did yell, "Let's go," when a fencer there's an American fencer who was facing in a matchup. And it went to sudden death overtime, similar to our Cheers office matchup yesterday. I didn't know there was
same,
sudden death.
Yeah,
I didn't know there was sudden death overtime in fencing, but there was. And the number two seed, the American, was about to go out. And they must have done a 3 or 4 minute sudden death where they had to keep restarting. And then when he won, gentleman ripped his mask off, yelled, "Let's go!" He's on his knees going crazy. Meanwhile, I'm going crazy in my living room, having never heard this guy 10 minutes before I started watching. The French audience could not care less.
Easy
France,
on that knee, EJ. Let's make sure the other one stays intact. You know, we don't need we've already had kickball incidents. So we don't need a fencing issue to get in the way. You don't cry during the Olympics. What's the matter with you guys?
It's not off the table. It just didn't happen yesterday for gymnastics.
If it's not the moment when they solidify the medal, it's got to be during the anthem, right? I mean, what are you guys, just robots over there?
Well, I wasn't watching live like you were, so that might have been the first obstacle to tears.
No, you gotta be watching live.
Yeah.
Yesterday was not a big Olympic day for me. I kind of, give me Simone Biles and men's basketball. When's today? That going on?
Oh, Simone Biles today.
Yeah, that, men's basketball that tomorrow. Oh, are you guys about Canada or Team USA?
I thought Team USA.
His real allegiance, which is Canada. Canada.
Team USA is tomorrow?
Yes.
Oh, Wednesday. Okay. Yes. Yeah, okay. But you see, you got to text me, Maggie, to say the guy with glasses is pommel horsing.
All right. I'll text you next time.
Well, she did, right?
I tweeted it. I mentioned it yesterday. I mean, there's only so much I can do. I can lead a horse to water here, but I can't make it drink, Pearl. If you don't want to get on board with men's gymnastics, I don't know what to do.
Well, I actually do not acknowledge that men's gymnastics exists.
I'm going to be honest. The Olympics has made its way into my girlfriend's group chat, which they are not sports fans.
Okay.
By any stretch. They wouldn't know Peyton Manning from...
Yes.
You know.
Peyton Hillis.
From Rafael Nadal. I mean, they don't know anything about anything when it comes to sports. They don't even know what I do for a living. But they are very much into the Olympics. And I'll tell you what sport made it into their into their purview.
Yeah, you know the Olympic fans are not sports fans. Like, if you watch 3 minutes of the Olympics, and that's quite clear.
Oh, they haven't watched 130 seconds of the Olympics,
no,
but
I'm
they
saying,
have a favorite.
Right, right. But the Olympic audience is the exact opposite of the football audience. It's the Today Show audience.
True.
Right, and that's how they present it, and that's why sometimes there's 9 minutes of features and 1 minute of actual competition.
Well, this one wasn't a feature so much. It was a couple still photos and a video of the French men's diving team.
Oh.
And I'm going to leave it there.
Not the German women's beach volleyball team that I was in.
No, that maybe that was your group chat. My group chat is a little more about the French divers. Suddenly got a lot of fans of this French diver. And I'm going to let everyone else do their own research on this because I can't lay it out anymore.
What's with this diver? Does he have an OnlyFans page? What's going on? What's going on?
Or should he?
Yeah.
I'm not saying nothing.
Does he need two Speedos?
All I'm saying is I got back to my phone and there were 27 text messages and it was all about this one guy. So
you should play old age home with him. See what happens.
855-212-4227.
Take Zoo and Boyle.
Okay. On to more sobering notes. Patriots training camp. A lot different with no Bill Belichick. We'll tell you how next. Sitcom bracket finished up today. Congratulations, Seinfeld. Seinfeld won. This is obviously the Friends theme. We're thinking about moving on to theme songs next. But we may have to let this breathe for a minute.
Yeah, I think the question is, even if you don't like Friends, like, you know this song. Like, iconic one. That's your opinion.
Okay, has anyone been paying attention to what's going on in New England right now? Now, obviously, the Patriots are in full-on rebuild. Vegas is picking them playoff two, have the fewest wins of any team in the NFL this year. They're breaking in a new quarterback in Drake May. Not even sure he's going to start. Probably won't. Jacoby Brissett will probably start. But things are not what they used to be, and that might be an understatement. So yesterday, you have Matthew Judon, who is one of the most important defensive players that they have on the team. So he's probably one of the most important players they have on the team right now. He is openly upset about not having a new contract. So Matthew Judon went on a show called Shut Up Mark Podcast. Let's hear cut five, please. He says he doesn't understand why the Pats won't sign him.
I don't want to be the villain. I don't want to be the bad guy, but it's like, shoot, bro. Like, help me out. We got the most cap in the league right now, bro. Like, and then with that, like, they don't even get the money. So what the hell are y'all doing with it? Like, y'all literally just not using it.
Okay, more from Matthew Judon. Says he even drafted his own contract offer and sent it over to the Patriots.
I wrote out my own contract and sent it to him. They just ain't responding.
Not yet.
I for real.
Ellison, an offer has been submitted.
Yeah, I wrote my own. And, you know, I don't do most of the talking to them. You know, they let me play football, and I got an agent. But that one thing I did do.
Can you imagine if Bill Belichick received an contract offer written by one of the players? Would he blow his nose with it or wipe his butt with it? Because Belichick wouldn't play. And I'm sure there were dozens of players, Perloff, throughout the years who had issues with the Patriots and contracts. We just never really saw it spill out and spill over into the public, where yesterday Judon was seen like leaving practice.
I'm trying to remember, but I'm assuming the Patriots have had contract issues for years. You're just saying that they pushed them to the side and that it was hidden?
I think that Belichick, the tight ship that he ran there, didn't allow these things to become public. Listen, the Patriots had their other issues, of course. Like, they're not a perfect organization.
Aaron Hernandez running around in flip-flops.
There were definitely other things, but not just Judon. This is a particular lane. And Devon Godshaw, who's another important defensive player, who has his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, who's basically sitting there on the sidelines with him. There's just been more. Gerard Mayo was on our friend Kay Adams' show. Gerard Mayo was asked if Bill Belichick has reached out to him at all. How about cut four, please, Nick? Let's hear it.
That's a tough question. We haven't had a lot of communication since I've been here. And honestly, for me, my focus is the players. It's all about the players. And I learned a lot from Bill. I honestly did. X's and O's, and also, structure and practice and things like that.
Okay, so it hasn't heard much from Bill Belichick. I mean, he's really changed a lot of things even behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. Playing music at practice, starting practice a little bit later to have meetings earlier, and also putting like a PlayStation ping pong table, that kind of stuff in the locker room, because he thought guys were going over just like being on their phones, not being like no camaraderie, really. Just a very different vibe for the Patriots now.
Yeah, I mean, I think it makes sense. Like, the Belichick era is gone. You were terrible at the end of the Belichick era. You're now a normal team. This is whoever is, like, for example, Matthew Judon. He's not going to be there when the Patriots are good again. So what's the difference if they sign him or not? Why would the Patriots sign him? He's going to turn 32 in August. I'm not sure, like, everyone's got to realize what's happening here, right? They're going to be bad for 2 years. Is that okay? Can you come off of Bill Belichick and just be bad and be cool with that? Well, I think you should kind of face that fact.
Well, I would be worried perhaps a bit if I'm Gerard Mayo, because if you know that intuitively, if you have Robert Kraft, who got so frustrated at the end with Belichick, someone who has won 6 Super Bowls for the guy and made the franchise beyond profitable, like, you know, increased the value of the franchise, you know, along with Brady, obviously, by probably a power of 10, how much real patience are you going to have with a new coach in Gerard Mayo, who's doing things a different way? And, you know, say Drake May's development doesn't go well or anything that happens.
Well, that's the key.
Yeah, amongst, like, and he's a defensive coach, obviously, Mayo. But, like, say something doesn't go right, he's going to be treated probably just like anyone else. Even if they love him and they loved him as a player, I mean, the coaches rarely get these long opportunities.
I would just say this about the Patriots. There is only one issue, and it is how is Drake May developed? I don't care about Matthew Judon. I don't care about anybody. I mean, they've been good on defense and bad the last 2 years.
Yeah.
It's really just about Drake May. So that's really the end all and be all for Gerard Mayo. And as you mentioned, I keep reading that they're going to start Brissett for a while.
I get it. I mean, again, if you are willing to sort of sacrifice this year, you understand what it is. I read that they have like 5 or 6 coaches around Drake May.
Yeah.
It's like not just your offensive coordinator and your quarterback coach, but a bunch of guys. So,
right, so that's the key here.
They made the investment.
What I kind of wonder about, too, is, you know, this is not a tanking year. First of all, they have their quarterback, so they don't need to tank for a quarterback. And I don't think this year they had 6 quarterbacks. There's no way there's 6 first-round quarterbacks. Like, who's the obvious tank? There's no tank for, maybe you could say Shedeur Sanders, but he's a lot older. There's no Trevor Lawrence sitting in this draft. So who do they... What are they building out? Like, if you have 3 wins, at least are you going to get like a superstar in the draft? Travis Hunter? I don't even know. Is there somebody exciting coming to help Drake May?
Well, and that's interesting. It also could, listen, we've seen this before where a Joe Burrow comes out of almost nowhere.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden having that number one pick becomes the most important thing in the history of your franchise.
Or CJ Stroud is a number 2 pick. You're right. There could be something, I mean, even Joe Burrow, nobody thought he was going to turn around Cincinnati that fast. Because at Cincinnati, they'd had years, they were pretty good with Andy Dalton, like they'd make the wild card game.
Yep.
But you're right there. So who knows? I don't mind them just, if I'm Gerard Mayo, I do change things. Because like you have to announce that I'm not Bill Belichick. You have to do something, right? When you actually sit back, that makes some sense, right? That he's trying to do something totally different.
Yeah, I guess you just don't want the, okay, now everyone complaining about contract stuff. Now you're just a little bit more like everybody else. And that's something where the Patriots, even though things have been bad the last couple years, I think they always enjoyed, because of Belichick and Brady, but then even with Belichick, this sort of rarefied air because of all the winning they've done. And now they're just like every other team. They got a guy who's upset, another guy's upset. Poor Christian Barmore's dealing with blood clots. I mean, that's awful. But you're just like everyone else now. You're not above anything.
I mean, if Belichick was there, Judon would already be gone. He'd be in Cleveland or something. So it's not even, I mean, he's 32. He doesn't fit a Belichick mold at all.
Coming up, we answer the question, who is the greatest college football player since the year 2000?
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.